Welcome to Canada. We've got no bank issues. The future's bright. Come on over. Is that an advert? This is the World Service.
BBC. Clocking on for another day's work. Holiday adventures, a distant memory.
Fernando, make us a cup of tea, will you?
And a long, hard year ahead.
Call for Mr. Tevez on line one.
The stars of the World Cup get back to their day jobs. The English Premier League on Sports World. Listen online at bbcworldservice.com.
The Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood is the oldest and most influential Islamist movement in the world. But what does it really want? The Brotherhood. Monday at bbcworldservice.com.
This is the BBC in Naples.
Tel Aviv. Perth.
Accra. Wherever you are, you're with the BBC.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. Welcome to Friday's edition of World Have Your Say from the BBC.
I graduated last month and now looking for jobs like all over London. If I don't get a job or a placement soon, I think I have to start looking for a job in a supermarket.
Is the younger generation doing enough to find a job? A global employment report says the highest number of people ever are out of work. It stands at 81 million. So do you believe young people should take any job that's offered to them, or do they have a right to pick and choose? And are too many young people pampered by their parents, living off mum and dad and never getting a job? The blog address is worldhaveyoursay.com. Also, a man is facing a possible $1 million speeding fine because under Swiss law, how fast your driving and your wealth are taken into account. So should you be fined according to your wealth?
BBC News with David Legg. The German economy, Europe's biggest, has shown its largest three-month growth since reunification over 20 years ago. It grew by 2.2%, mainly spurred by exports, but also by strong sales at home. But as our business correspondent Ben Shaw reports, it's unclear whether this marks the start of a more general European recovery.
A decent set of figures from Eurozone countries had been expected today, but nothing like the 2.2% growth Germany achieved on the back of a significant increase in exports. France's economy grew by a respectable 0.6%, but the big worry of the major euro economies remains Spain. Its 0.2% figure is a reminder of fears that some eurozone governments will struggle to pay their debts. Overall, the EU grew by an impressive 1%, but this was an exceptional quarter, and many economists would be surprised if these numbers were repeated in the second half of the year.
A military court in Sri Lanka has convicted the former army chief Surat Fonseca of involvement in politics while in uniform and has given him a dishonourable discharge. If that's confirmed by President Rajapaksa, he'll be stripped of his rank and military honours. From Colombo, Charles Haviland.
A senior official in the president's office told the BBC that he understood there had been a guilty verdict against Sarath Fonseca. He's convicted of engaging in political manoeuvring before he quit the post of armed forces chief last November. An aide to General Fonseca described the verdict as totally unacceptable, pointing out that the defense lawyers haven't attended the trial as this week was a legal holiday. General Fonseca led the armed forces to victory over the Tamil Tigers, but then fell out with President Rajapaksa. After retiring, he stood against Mr. Rajapaksa in the presidential election, but lost and was swiftly arrested. He has denied politicking while still in uniform.
International aid agencies say those who've survived the devastating floods in Pakistan are now at risk from potentially deadly waterborne diseases. The United Nations has already registered 36,000 cases of diarrhea among the millions of people displaced by the floods. The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross delegation in Pakistan, Pascal Kuta, told reporters the lack of drinking water was already costing lives.
The reports we received from the teams on the ground is that there is no clean drinking water at all. And if we don't manage to address these issues fast, then the number of people dying in this disaster will considerably increase.
President Obama has signed legislation aimed at stemming illegal immigration from Mexico and curbing drug running across the border. The measure will provide around 1,500 extra border guards and agents and more unmanned aerial patrol drones at a total cost of $600 million. It follows fierce debate in the US over illegal immigration. World News from the BBC.
Wellington Women in Crisis is dedicated to ending violence against all women and children. We offer shelter, support, and advocacy, as well as a 24-hour phone line. We support women survivors of emotional, physical, sexual, and financial abuse in Guelph and Wellington County. Our crisis line in Guelph is 519-826-5710, and outside of Guelph is 1-800-265-SAFE. That's 1-800-265-7233. From there, someone can direct you to the most helpful program for a situation, whether that is Mary Ann's Place, our emergency shelter, the Sexual Assault Center, the Transitional Housing and Support Program, or the Rural Women's Support Program. The crisis line is also available to seek advice for someone else or to just speak to someone for support. For more information, check out Women in Crisis website at www.gwwomenincrisis.org or find us on Facebook. Again, the crisis line is 519-836-5710 for Guelph, or 1-800-265-SAFE. That's 1-800-265-7233.
Country doing enough to find a job. An employment report says there's a so-called lost generation who want to work but they don't have a job and have little chance of getting one anytime soon. The International Labour Organization says that global youth unemployment figures have reached the highest number ever. 13% of people between the ages of 15 and 24 worldwide are unemployed. That's a staggering 81 million young people, and there are a few countries around the world that aren't affected. So should young people accept any work just to get into the job market? Are too many young people unwilling to take poorly paid jobs? Or following a global recession, do we have to accept there are simply fewer jobs out there and that it's the young that will bear the brunt? Enos got in touch with us via Facebook. He says, this is the biggest threat Africa is facing. Wherever you are in the world, what is it like where you live? The blog address is worldhaveyoursay.com. And later in the programme, we're going to be talking about a driver who was caught speeding at 290 kilometres per hour. That's 180 miles an hour. He now faces a possible $1 million fine. That's the world's biggest, because under Swiss law, the level of a fine is determined by the wealth of the driver and the speed he was travelling at. So, should you be fined according to your wealth? You can join the conversation now. Here's how to get in touch.
Text us on country code 44 77 86 20 60 80.
Email what have you say at bbc.co.uk.
Well, thank you for being with us on this Friday. I'm pleased to say we've got lots of young people joining us for the next hour of the programme to talk about this issue of unemployment. Here in the World Have Your Say studio, I'm joined by Pfizer, who is freelancing at the moment at the BBC Trust, but is trying to get a full-time job. And also Hugo, who's a graduate of Southeastern Studies. Welcome both of you to World Have Your Say. Hugo, first of all, you haven't got a job at the moment.
No. I've been looking for jobs all summer, but haven't found anything. Applying to all the typical graduate schemes in the UK civil service, all the way to law traineeships, stuff like that. And just today I've successfully got a place on a unpaid internship at Arsenal Football Club, coaching young people around the area.
Fantastic. So that's to many people listening to this, to coach football, even though you're not getting paid at Arsenal, it's not bad. I mean, that's a world renowned football team. I mean, do you know what you want to do as a career?
No, I don't know what I want to do. And I thought this was kind of a step in the right direction, at least getting some work experience, because I haven't really worked before. Mm. And just getting a feel for what responsibility and work is all about, I think, is a step in the right direction, as I say.
So yeah. How old are you?
I'm 20 now.
You're 20. So is there any job that you wouldn't do? I mean, if someone turned up and said, you can go and stack shelves in your local supermarket, or you could get a cleaning job, something like that, would you entertain that because at least you're earning money?
I feel like I'd, I have a limit, if you see what I mean. I've paid so much to go to university that, you know, I think, I hate to say it, but the lowest I'd settle for would be working in a shop or working in a bar. I couldn't do cleaning jobs or anything like that, just because, you know, I've set my sights high.
Okay, that's interesting. Pfizer, you're doing some freelancing at the moment, as I say, at the BBC Trust. I know you did a journalism course, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I did my master's in international journalism. So I graduated actually last September, I finished. And then I started my intern with the BBC Trust, and I was researching with them. Then I got a freelancing offer, so I'm doing a short-term contract with them. But I'm still in that pool of unemployment and still looking for jobs. It's really difficult. It's not easy at all. I mean, when you think you have the experience, when you think you have your qualification, you apply and then no one replies back. And then you think, okay, what more do they want? But then, I mean, it's just that there aren't enough jobs in the market, you know?
What about not in journalism? I know that's what you'd like to do, but would you think of working elsewhere?
I mean, I wouldn't mind, to be honest. I have kind of diversified my career line. Obviously, I mean, because I graduated in journalism, if I do apply elsewhere, they would look at my qualifications and whether I've had experience in that sector.
I said to Hugo, what about if it's like I need to pay some bills? I don't know if you live at home or whether you rent a flat or whatever, but I need some cash. I haven't got any. Haven't had any shifts for a while, freelancing or whatever. You know, I'll get a cleaning job. I'll, you know, stack shelves in the local supermarket. Would you do that?
I wouldn't do that. No. I mean, not cleaning or working in a supermarket. No.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's just the way I've been brought up. And my parents have paid so much for me to come here. And I think it's just the way, you know, it's just the way I've been brought up. Yeah, but anything else, yeah, definitely. Working in retail or going into something else, yeah, definitely. But cleaning or, you know, supermarket, no.
Okay, well, yeah. Pfizer and Hugo, I want to introduce you to two other guests who are with us for the next period of time here on World Have Your Say. Dorcas is in our Nairobi studio. She's 25, and Sarah, who's 21, is sitting next to her. Dorcas and Sarah, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
You've been listening to what Hugo and Pfizer have been saying there. What? Tell us each of you in turn what your situation is.
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Tell us, are you working at the moment?
Yeah, I'm working at the moment. But before I got that job, it was quite a hassle to get such kind of a job. I used to work in companies. They just think you're joking because I'm a youth. At times, to get that job, they expect you to have someone who's pushing you to get the job. For the moment, I've been working for a year. Times it's hard because they ain't paying you enough money. Before I got that job, I used to, like, if I get a contract, I would work there because at times it's hassle to get money. You need to pay your bills. You need to do everything and stuff. Yeah, and in Kenya, at times the youth, it's not easy for you to get a job at times. Because there are times they need you to give some bribe for them to employ you, to be knowing someone. At least you need an experience. You're out of university, you have no experience. They expect you to have a certain kind of experience.
That's interesting, Sarah. So you're saying you need experience and possibly even paying a bribe in Kenya to get a job. Let's bring in Dorcas. Dorcas, you're not working at the moment.
Yes, I'm not working at the moment.
Tell me, what area do you want to get into?
Okay, well, I graduated last year, July, with a Bachelor of Commerce in HR. So I actually want to get into HR. And if all the jobs in HR, they require work experience of 5 years and above, and the least, at least I'd want to get into an organization is even maybe get into the payroll departments or even admin so that I can get my growth to HR. But it seems to be a little bit hard because all of them want work experience, even some as crazy as five and I'm just a graduate. So if they can't give me the opportunity to start with them, when will I ever get the work experience?
So Dorcas, what are you doing to make money at the moment?
Okay, at the moment I resorted to using my talents. I'm an art lover, so at the moment I do decor, floral art for weddings, and I also make jewellery and sell to friends and friends of friends.
So you've used a bit of initiative and thought, this is what my talents, where my talents lie, and I'll do this now until I can hopefully get a job in HR.
Yes, I'm still doing interviews and applying, or lucky enough I get interviews, and at least 60% of most of the places I apply, they reply me back, because I decided to set a standard that I'm not just going to apply for a job anywhere. I have to apply for a job where I'm, you know, guaranteed of growth.
Well, Dorcas, this is fascinating. So there's four of you now, and three of you have all said there is a certain level under which you would not go because you don't feel, after all of the investment, both economically and your time in education, you don't feel that you should. Sarah, would you be willing to take any job?
No, I wouldn't, because, okay, I've spent a lot in my education. So at times, I just can't take any job because it's there. I need something that's substantial for my growth and the check they're giving me.
But, okay, this is Dorcas. I think, in a way, I disagree with Sarah, because I reached a point, like, around March this year, that East Africa Breweries in Kenya were, you know, they needed ushers. And they were going to pay like $4,000 a day, and that's like almost $50 in a day. And it was a seminar, and they required me to just be an usher. So I went for it. At the end of the day, I'm making money, and I'm networking with people in the corporate field. So it depends. I think it depends.
If you're just switching on the radio, okay. We're listening to World Have Your Say on the BBC. We're discussing whether the younger generation is doing enough to find jobs. A report has come out saying that the highest number ever of young people are out of work around the world. A few of your messages that are coming in. Mabanga has commented on our Facebook wall, people call our generation the whiny generation. However, it took me 2 years to get a job, and after that long, one does tend to complain. Jian 60188 posted at worldhaveyoursay.com, too many young people these days think that certain jobs are too hard or below them. I suggested one should get a job at UPS, moving boxes, or at Walmart. Both of these places are always hiring. They said UPS seems hard and Walmart doesn't pay a living wage. Interesting thoughts. If you want to get involved in the discussion, you can email us worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. You can call us on country code 44 2070 83 72 72. Let's bring in Vicky, who is on the line from Newcastle in the UK. She runs a small company. So we've heard from four young people who are out there trying to get the jobs of their dreams. Let's speak to an employer. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi. You've heard what these four guys have said so far. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously these guys seem like high flyers. They all seem like they're trying really hard, looking for jobs. I've had a slightly different experience as an actual employer. It's in a different field to what these guys were looking at. But last month, I put a job advertisement out on two university websites for a marketing internship over 12 weeks. This was being partially funded by the actual universities. And I got zero applications from one, and the other university got back to me a week after the deadline with a handful of candidates. And by that point, I'd actually already hired someone from within the company. There was only three people to choose from, two of which are 19 with no degree, but a very, very self-motivated people. And I actually appointed Craig from our company, age 19, been to college, got A-levels, but he came into that role and he has absolutely excelled.
So Vicky, explain to me, why do you think then, if you're running a 12-week paid internship, you're not asking people to work for free, you're saying I'll pay you for 3 months, you're in a marketing company, why don't you think you were getting applications from universities?
I don't know. It's really strange. One of the universities, obviously, I was focusing northeast, was Durham, and I'm a Durham graduate myself. And it was actually doing marketing for a bingo company. And I know a lot of people, by the sounds of it, from the other guys who've been talking on this show, are very picky about the jobs.
Well, Vicky, you can talk to them. I think Hugo wants to talk to you.
Yeah, hi Vicky, it's Hugo. I think the type of jobs that you're advertising, smaller firms, I think should be a lot better advertised by universities and sort of employment brochures, because I think graduates nowadays are very much streamlined into programs run by massive employers, you know, GlaxoSmithKline or whatever. And what a lot of graduates don't realise is that these are incredibly competitive, and I think they think that this is kind of the normal thing to do, that the only way to go is to apply to massive companies with graduate schemes. So, yeah, as I say, I think internships or paid placements with, or unpaid with, smaller companies should be much better advertised. Yeah,
I mean, it's all, I do agree with you on the advertising, but you've got to understand that as a small company, you've not got a budget for advertising. You can't be.
But is there not also an argument that if you're out there looking for a job, look high, look low, look wherever it is, and find those jobs? Is that not a responsibility on the student?
I should have people coming to me asking for a job. That's what I should have. I should have every single graduate in the marketing field in Newcastle and the surrounding areas in the northeast sending me letters, sending me their CVs.
I think it should be both ways.
It's the sort of thing that I used to do. I mean, I'm only 26 myself. Yeah. I'm running a marketing company.
Yeah, I mean, I think we share the responsibility with universities and the companies themselves for advertising them better. I agree with you, is that a graduate should spend all their time looking for a job if they're looking to get into paid employment, and they shouldn't just be on the internet, as I say, applying to huge companies. They should be out on the high street handing out CVs as much as possible.
Yeah, and I do think that there is a degree of sort of narrow focus. The graduates just seem to have a focus on the big graduate schemes. I mean, I know when I first got out of university, I must have applied for 30 jobs all around the country, and I eventually got on the graduate scheme for Visit Britain, the tourist board, and I actually found that on a random job site somewhere. I can't even remember where I found it now. It was probably Total Jobs, and at the time it was a small online advertising. But I mean, the thing is that if you're in the northeast, especially the northeast of England, it's very hard to find a job, especially a skilled job. Where you need a degree, because there's a lot of unskilled jobs which will pay you and it'll provide you with a living. And I just think if you do want these high level jobs, you should be searching high and low. And
okay,
really,
Vicky, I want to bring someone else into the conversation, because there's lots of people queued up on the screen in front of me wanting to get involved in our conversation. Shalenda is on the line from India. And Shalenda, welcome to World Have You Say. You actually run a Facebook group for unemployed people in India.
Yeah, I have started an association with the name of, it's a community like Unemployed Association of India. The community I have started with a view that so that people who are employed, they can come and join the community and help those people who are unemployed to give them a proper help how they can get a good job. The thing is, the people are not aware about what they want to do after graduation. They are just cramming the things and completed their degree with a good marks, but they are not able to provide the quality to the company. The company demands some kind of skill set in the employee. They want some kind of new thing, innovative minds in the in their new employee. But the new employee, whenever they go to the company, they have only one thing in the mind. Whatever they have read in the college time, they only have to work on that. But this is not the actual picture.
Shalenda, it's interesting. You're saying that basically people are coming out of university, they've got the qualifications, everybody is essentially the same, and people need something different. They need to stand out. But how do you get that when there are just so many people vying for so few jobs? What do you have to do? Go and work for free?
There is a very simple way to get to know about those things. There are lots of portals on the net. There are lots of newspaper coming to your home. You can get to those job placement related newspaper portals. Open those portals, open those newspapers, see what are the vacancies coming on that, and what are the requirement of the company at the time when you are in college. Just read out. They want .NET, they want C++, whatever they want. Just try to grab those things, learn those things, side by side your education.
Shalenda, it's Hugo. Do you think universities as a general rule, should introduce a vocational element to their courses, even if it's not a vocational course, like some kind of work experience,
even for a month or something. They have to start a vocational courses. Yeah. In our college providing vocational courses, our college name is Lingyas. They provide a proper vocational classes at the end of every weekend. We are having 2 hour classes of each and everything related to software development. I have done engineering and IT. We're having classes on that. They provide us all kind of those things, but the main thing is the students are not aware about those things, but these things are going to help them in future. They simply bunked the classes, they did not attend those classes, they leave the classes. Now they are suffering from unemployment. This is the reason.
Okay, Shalenda, thank you very much for joining us from India. Who's trying to come on?
Sorry, Chloe, I was just wanting to add to that point. I think the vocational experience is really, really good. But I would also add that when you're at university, I think the universities need to better inform students that being head of a social group or vice president of your college or sort of anything that's a position of responsibility, or say setting up your own website based on something that you're really interested in. I think anything will that makes you stand out is important and will get you a little bit further in the job applications.
Hi, this is Faiza. I actually just wanted to add into all of that. I actually think that, I mean, we've been talking about students who have good grades and, you know, they've been well educated. I mean, as an unemployed right now, with looking for work, I just feel that it's important for oneself to really, really understand what their skills are. Because sometimes when you apply for a company and you just think, okay, do I have this? So you need to be confident of your own skills. You need to know what you can offer to the market. You need to know that no matter what it is, you can work in a diversified environment and give it your best. And I think that's something that is, you need to figure that out on your own.
Well, this is Dorcas. To add on to what Faiza and Shulenda has said, yeah? Well, when you get into the university, but by the time you're on your first year, you already know what you want to study. And in the whole, like, I did Bachelor of Commerce. We do marketing, accounting, and everything. So when Shulenda says that companies, you need to have innovative minds, you need to know the company requirements, by that time, before you apply for the job, you already know what they want. So at the end of the day, it's comes down to the employers, you know, what exactly are they looking for and why aren't they taking you because of this and that? Because everybody who is applying, most graduates have outstanding skills and you actually even put them in.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, of course, but I think it goes both ways. You know, because sometimes I think there's just a communication barrier. I mean, number one, there is no demand for jobs. And number two, which is why it's making it really, really difficult for graduates, because they're kind of competing and you don't know whether the employers want higher education. You don't know whether it's because you need more experience. You don't know whether it's your skills you're lacking. And at a point, like, you are confused because you don't know what it is that they want.
It's almost like you want feedback, isn't it? But as you say, if you're writing to so many companies and you're not even responding, you don't know where you are. Interesting. If you're an employer out there who gets lots of people applying for jobs and you don't respond, it'd be interesting if you could call in and explain why that is, because it does mean that many people are left wondering what they should do. You can call us, country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. That's exactly what Joshua in Cleveland has done. But that music tells us that we're coming up to the latest BBC World News. So Joshua, stay on the line. We'll speak to you straight after that. Also, David in Pennsylvania, who's been waiting incredibly patiently, thank you as well. We will come to you in a few moments' time. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com.
There's more information about our forthcoming programme highlights on our website. To really whet your appetite, just pop along to bbcworldservice.com and click Coming Soon.